जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभा जय गिरिवर धरे जय गिरिवर धरे जय गोपी जन बल्लभा जय गिरिवर धरे जय गिरिवर धरे यशोदानंदना जय ब्रज जनरंजना जय ब्रज जनरंजना जय यशोदानंदना जय ब्रज जनरंजना जय ब्रज जनरंजना यमुना तीरा वन चारे जय कुंज बिहारे जय यमुना तीरा वन चारे जय कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी
జయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రాజకచార్య అష్టోదరక్షరి శ్రీమదస్ డివైన్ గ్రీస్ శ్రీల భై చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదకి, ఇస్కాన్ బిబిడి సంస్థాపకాచార్య శీల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రాజకచార్య అష్టోదరక్షరి శ్రీమదస్ డివైన్ గ్రీస్ శ్రీల భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి ఠాకూర్ ప్రభుపాదకి, అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి, నామాచార్య శ్రీల హృదాస్ ఠాకూరుకి, ప్రేమ్ సిఖో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నితానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్త బృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గో గోపీనాథ్ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ శ్రీగిరి గోవర్ధన్ కి, బ్రజభూమి శ్రీ బృందావన ధామ్ కి, పురుషోత్తమ క్షేత్ర శ్రీ జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి, నవద్వీప్ మాయాపుర్ ధామ్ కి, గంగామాయి జమునామాయి కి, భక్తి దేవి తులసి మహారాణికి, కలియుగ పావన్ హరినామ సంకీర్తన్ కి, హరే కృష్ణ మహామంత్రకి, శ్రీల ప్రభుపా ట్రాన్సెండల్ బుక్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూషన్ కి, నితాయ గౌర్ ప్రేమనందే, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబుల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబుల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబుల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయ చక్షురోన్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురువే నమః. నమ ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాసది గౌర భక్త బృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 11 చాప్టర్ 3 చాప్టర్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ లిబరేషన్ ఫ్రమ్ ద ఇల్యూజరీ ఎనర్జీ టెక్స్ట్ 50-51. అర్చాదౌ హృదయే చాపి యథా లబ్ధోపచారకైః ద్రవ్య క్షితి ఆత్మ లింగాని నిష్పాద్య ప్రోక్ష్య చాసనం. అర్చాదౌ హృదయే చాపి యథా లబ్ధోపచారకైః ద్రవ్యక్షితి ఆత్మలింగాని నిష్పాద్య ప్రోక్షచాసనం. అర్చాదౌ హృదయే చాపి యథా లబ్ధోపచారకైః ద్రవ్యక్షితి ఆత్మలింగాని నిష్పాద్య ప్రోక్షచాసనం. అర్చాదౌ హృదయే చాపి యథా లబ్ధోపచారకై ద్రవ్యక్షితి ఆత్మలింగాని నిష్పాద్య ప్రోక్షచాసనం. Ladies. There are two verses connected, 50 and 51. Padhya din upakalpyatha sannidhyapya samadhita hridyadibhi kritanyaso mula mantrena charchayet. Word to word translation. Archadau, in the form of the deity and his paraphernalia, hridaye, in the heart, chapi, also, yatha labdha, whatever is available, upachara kaihi, with ingredients of worship, dravya, the physical items to be offered, kshiti, the ground, atma, one's own mind, lingani, and the deity, Nishpadya, preparing, Proksha, sprinkling with water for purification, Cha, and Asanam, one seat, Padyadin, the water for bathing the deity's feet, and other offerings, Upakalpya, getting ready. Atha, then, sannidhapya, placing the deity in his proper place. Samahita, concentrating one's attention. Hrit adibhi, on the deity's heart and other places of the body. Kritanyasa, having drawn sacred marks. Mula mantrena, with the appropriate basic mantra for worshipping the particular deity. Cha, and archayet, one should offer worship. Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The devotee should gather whatever ingredients for worshipping the deity are available, make ready the offerings, the ground, his mind and the deity, sprinkle his sitting place with water for purification, and prepare the bathing water and other paraphernalia. The devotee should then place the deity in his proper place, both physically and within his own mind, concentrate his attention and mark the deity's heart and other parts of the body with tilaka. Then he should offer worship with appropriate mantra, purport. Atha Sri Krishna Amadina Bhavet Grahyam Indriyai Sevan Mukhai Jihvado Swayameva Spuratyada. The absolute truth can never be understood by ordinary material sense perception. The conditioned souls engrossed in the vain pursuit of material sense gratification are completely indifferent to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their materially conditioned minds are always impure and disturbed by the endless flow of material dualities, such as prosperity and poverty, winter and summer, fame and infamy, youth and old age. Such disturbed conditioned souls cannot recognize the personal presence of the absolute truth in the form of the deity. The Lord's incarnation as Archavatar, the deity form, is a special manifestation of the Lord's mercy towards the materialistic or neophyte devotees who are still under the influence of material designations. They are unable to perceive the Lord in His eternal abode, and therefore the Lord descends as the deity form, manifesting the Prakasha incarnations and even the Swayam Prakasha, or the original form of the Lord. The Prakasha incarnations exhibit various pastimes within this world, whereas Swayam Prakasha, the Lord's original form, is the source of all avataras. To one who sincerely worships the deity manifests himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are the most unfortunate cannot even recognize the Supreme Lord in his merciful deity expansion. They consider the deity an ordinary material object. But by surrendering at the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, who is a pure devotee of the Lord, one can learn to worship the deity as mentioned in this verse, and thus revive one's lost relationship with the Lord. One who considers such transcendental deity worship to be equivalent to idol worship is grossly covered by the three modes of material nature. A person wearing rose-colored glasses sees the entire world to be rose-colored. Similarly, those unfortunate living entities who are thickly covered by the material modes of material nature see everything, including the Supreme Lord, as material due to their polluted vision. So this is a beautiful verse from the third chapter of the 11th canto. And this section is describing the discussions between Maharaj Nimi and the Navayogendras. And in this particular verse, there is an emphasis given on how through the process of deity worship one can reconnect with the Supreme Lord. So Rupa Goswami Pad has described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 64 items for devotional service, out of which he has mentioned 5 as the most prominent. And the 5 are chanting of the holy names, 2nd is taking shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd serving the devotees, 4th residing in the holy dham, and the 5th is worshipping the deities. So out of the remaining 59, 35 items are listing about what are the rules and regulations to follow while doing deity worship. So in that sense, out of, you know, all of these items which he has mentioned, out of the 64 items, more than 36 items are concerned with worshipping the deity. But still Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says that the Yuga Dharma for this age is chanting of the holy names. And in fact, this week, starting from yesterday till 17th, we are, the whole of ISKCON is celebrating as the Holy Name Week. And on the Holy Name Week Sunday, the topic is deity worship. So how do we manage both? So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while speaking to the Bengal Vaishnavas, he is giving a beautiful verse where he says, Krishna nama nirantara yahara vadane sei vaishnava sreshta bhaja tahara charane. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving this instruction that how do you identify an advanced devotee and how you must take shelter of such advanced souls. So he says, Krishna nama nirantara yahara vadane. One who is constantly chanting the holy names with his tongue, with his lips. Say Vaishnava Sreshta. Such a Vaishnava is considered to be advanced. Bhaja Tahara Charane. And one must worship the lotus feet of such great souls. And Srila Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport to this, where he defines this word antara. Krishna nama nirantara yahara vadane. So the direct meaning of nirantara is constant. But Prabhupada gives purports by quoting Srila Saraswati Thakur that this antara basically has 6 meanings. And we have to understand the word nirantara in the context of these 6 definitions of the word antara.
So the first meaning of antara is the direct meaning, which is interval. So nirantara means without any interval, without any gaps. Right? Krishna nama nirantara. So, you know, amongst Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, there were various personalities, including Haridas Thakur. And he was an embodiment of one who could chant without any interval, without taking any gaps. Kshane kshane karatumi sarvatirthira snan. Kshane kshane karatumi yagya tapodan. Mahaprabhu glorifies Haridas Thakur and says, because you are continuously chanting every moment, whatever holy names you are chanting, it is like taking bath in all the holy rivers, studying all the Vedic scriptures, giving charity, practically all kinds of pious activities you are covering because you are constantly chanting the holy names. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates were involved in continuously chanting the holy names, and even the kirtans of Mahaprabhu, when he would chant along with his associates. So when Prataprudra Maharaj sees that kirtan and he says that kaha nahi dekhi aiche kaha nahi shuni, I've never seen such kind of kirtan before. Bhattacharya kohe ei ha madhur vachan chaitanya ra srishti ei prema sankirtan. And he says that this harinam sankirtan, which is continuously chanted by the devotees, is coming from the spiritual world. Right? And therefore, Kalikale Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan Saito Sumedh Ar Kolihatajan. And therefore, the Yuga Dharma, or the duty, that means along with all of our other physical duties for the body, duties for the family, duties towards our jobs and occupation, duties in the social front, various duties we diligently follow and we try to balance our life. But one of the critical prime duties which really provides taste, satisfaction and meaning to all other duties, the duty which carries all other duties, is the Harinam Sankirtan. It is the Yuga Dharma. It is the duty for this age. Otherwise, everything else will be performed, but it will really carry no meaning. And therefore, we begin the day with the chanting of the holy names. And therefore, nirantara, the first, you know, understanding of nirantara is without any interval, without any gaps, like that. And Mahaprabhu and his associates were chanting like for hours and hours together. And Mahaprabhu very strategically chose Jagannath Puri to be his place of, you know, residence for 18 years. You know, of course, for its spiritual value. And another advantage was in Jagannath Puri, all accommodation prasad was very easily available. So there was no need to take any breaks for anyone to invest in any kind of major organizational activity. So Mahaprabhu was... We do kirtan for many, many hours, and after doing kirtan for many hours, he would just tell everybody, okay, now go and take prasad and come. So you know Anand Bazaar is overflowing with prasad. So they would have the Anand in the kirtan and then go have Anand in the Anand Bazaar and come back again kirtan. So this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mandate, Kirtaniya Sadahari, without any interval. Which means that if one is not focused on glorifying Krishna continuously, then one will be trapped by the influences of the material energy. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, there is a story in Vrindavan. Because he was Babaji, he did not have any formal disciples, but he had many well-wishers and those who were following him ardently. So he gathered all of them and said, tomorrow we are going to celebrate the disappearance day of Sanatan Goswami. And all the followers said, Jai Haribol. And then Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj said, and we're going to have a grand festival on the occasion. And they said, Jai, all glories. And then he started explaining that we'll begin the day with chanting of the holy names. Then we'll sing bhajans glorifying all our acharyas. Then we will discuss further Harikatha. And then we'll continuous chanting. And then we'll do japa. And then we'll do kirtan. And then the devotees were, you know, wondering what's coming next. What next? As you know, the bottom line. What next? And then he said, and then we'll chant more and more. And all day and night we'll chant, and we will be fasting all day. So for him, that Harinam itself was something which was nourishing him totally. So therefore, Nirantara basically means without any interval, no gap, continuous chanting. So you can imagine that standard with, you know, Prabhupada has given 16 rounds and we plan how many gaps I will take in this. And if somehow we manage to complete 16 rounds in 24 hours, 16 rounds not in 4 days, but in 24 hours, then we feel, you know, today was a successful day. Right? Somebody was challenging me that where in Gita Krishna is saying chant 16 rounds to Arjuna? Anywhere in Gita Krishna is asking Arjuna, have you finished your rounds? Is there anywhere in Gita where Arjuna is telling Krishna, please let's take a break from the battle, take us behind the tree, I have 4 rounds to finish. And then we'll continue the battle. So I said, Krishna tells in Gita, satatam kirtayanto mam. What is the Gita standard? Continuous, without any break, without any gap. And I used to, I was preaching in the Bhaktivedanta hospital many years ago. There was one consultant doctor who would come. And then I told him, you chant 4 rounds. He said, what, 4 rounds? You know how busy I am. Day and night I'm in operation theater only. I'm not like full time like you that I have all the time. Impossible. He said, okay, 2 rounds. 2 rounds! For every figure I was quoting, which was pretty conservative, he was like getting a major reaction. So I said, 1 round, half a round. Finally we settled at 4 mantras. And he really felt he's doing something in life. And every month when I would go, he would come and report to me. 4 mantras going on. And gradually after 1 year, 8 mantras. So after 3-4 years, he reached 64 mantras. So one day I was standing with some, you know, devotees, regular initiated devotees. We were talking something. Suddenly he came in and said, Mera 64 chal raha hai. My 64 is going on. And the devotees looked at me and said, what a powerful preaching you are doing. And I said, not rounds, mantras. So Saraswati Thakur, his standard, Prabhupada mentions in the NOI, is if you are not chanting 16 rounds, you are considered patita. That was his definition of patita. So Prabhupada really makes us feel good that you chant 16 rounds, you are mahan. From Saraswati Thakur's standard, it is like patita. So therefore, nirantara means continuous or without interval, the first meaning. Second meaning, which Prabhupada mentions, is that antara means body. And the body has various demands. The body has various pulls and pushes. And therefore, nirantara means not allowing the physical demands to create a gap in our sadhana. To not allow any of the physical needs to create a barrier in the process of chanting. So that is called nirantara. And all of us have experienced that, you know, when the day when you are fasting for Janmashtami or any other festival where there is full day fast or Pandav Nirjal Ekadashi, a week before people start planning. Because it creates so much of fear that, oh, the full day, what will I do? Just the thought that there will not be any food and water. You know, we feel so much compassion for the body. How will we survive? It's too much. Right? Someone was arguing with me, Are Ram is more merciful than Krishna. He appeared in afternoon only. Otherwise, Krishna makes us wait till late night. Many years ago, Radhanath Maharaj was giving class on Janmashtami. And right from like beginning, like this year also he gave like that six hours. So that year also he gave six and a half hours. And everybody was like, you know, hearing that. And many of us were very young. And we were wondering how long it's going to go. And just when the class was over in the ashram, like 10, 12 brahmacharis went and dhadam, fell on the ground. And I went inside and I saw that everyone is sleeping. Some had started snoring also. And it doesn't take long to get inspired by these things. So I decided, okay, I should conserve my energy because it's Janmashtami. So I was about to, you know, also take rest. And then Maharaj suddenly came in and said, hey, what is this scene? What's going on? And it really looked like a big battle of Kurukshetra had happened. And there were all the soldiers who were just completely emaciated, finished, exhausted. He said, why everyone is sleeping like this? It's Janmashtami day. I said, Maharaj, you know, we have to stay awake till 2 o'clock night. So we are conserving the energy. They're very efficient. They're trying to conserve the energy. Maharaj said, I just spoke 6 hours Krishna Leela and I see here Mahavishnu Leela. What is going on here? So just the thought that there is going to be fasting, it creates anxiety because, you know, we are very focused on the Deha Dharma. And because we are focused on Deha Dharma, whichever duty we become attracted to and become absorbed by, we cannot tolerate interruption. We get irritated by interruption in an activity. We should know that we have acquired taste for that. And then when any interruption comes as a welcome relief, then we should know that still a long way to go. And therefore, whenever there is interruption in the Deha Dharma, it creates anxiety. You know, it becomes an issue for us. And therefore, here it is described that antara, nirantara means without any interruption for taking care of the body in any way. So the bodily needs are there, but then we do not allow that to stop our chanting of the holy names. So antara, that's the first meaning of antara is interval. The second meaning is body. The third meaning of antara is money. So Krishna nama nirantara yahara vadane. So if we have to continuously be absorbed in chanting of the holy names, then we do not allow any other thoughts of money to stop us from chanting the holy names. And it happens that sometimes people feel, oh, I am not making enough money in Mumbai. I must go to some other country and there is no association of devotees and there is no this and no that. So I'll take a break from the chanting for some time because ultimately these needs are very important. So in order to fulfill the needs of money, if it creates a vigna, or an impediment in the chanting of the holy names, then we should not allow that. Nirantara. Nirantara means the various demands of our financial needs should not allow us to impede in connecting with the holy name. Right? So therefore, when Mahaprabhu was distributing, Mahaprabhu told Govinda that you distribute prasad, all the extra prasad at Balagandi to all the various beggars. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw that all these different beggars, poor people were sitting and taking the prasadam, महाप्रभु केम टू द मैन सेट कांगालेर भोजन रंग देखे गौर हरि हरिबोल बोली तारे उपदेश करी. महाप्रभु सेड दैट यू आर टेकिंग दिस प्रसादम, यू आर टेकिंग केयर ऑफ योर बॉडी एंड एवरीथिंग, बट हरिबोल बोली, डू नॉट स्टॉप चैंटिंग द होली नेम्स एज यू आर टेकिंग द प्रसादम. यू रिमेंबर कृष्ण एंड यू रिमेंबर योर रिलेशनशिप विथ कृष्ण. सो देयरफॉर व्हेनेवर देयर इज any kind of difficulty which we face, any difficulty at the material mundane level, whether it is coming from the body or from lack of finances or whatever, it may be overcome for the time being, but the real misery we are experiencing is our forgetfulness of relationship with Krishna. And therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jeev Krishna Das Evishwas Karle Aar Dukhanai. And therefore, the biggest cause of our suffering is forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna. So Mahaprabhu is telling them, remember that relationship, do not forget that. So here it is described that Krishna Nama Nirantara Yahara Vadane. Nirantara means we do not allow any of these other considerations to affect us. And in this way, we actually take to the process of chanting the holy names without any interruption. Prabhupada, when he was in Mumbai, there was one, you know, big businessman who came to him. And Prabhupada was trying to preach to him because he was very much connected to the impersonalistic philosophy. And Prabhupada was trying to preach to him about Krishna as a person. And Prabhupada gave this argument, that argument, various things. You know, it didn't connect with him. Then Prabhupada finally said, okay, I'll give you an example. He said, what? So Prabhupada said, just imagine that if there is 1 crore rupees in your pocket. And this businessman, like, his eyes lit up. He completely woke up. He was fully attentive, rapt. 1 crore rupees in my pocket? Yes. So Prabhupada said, and then I take that 1 crore and distribute it one rupee each amongst 1 crore people. So if that 1 crore rupees is distributed among 1 crore people, that is also 1 crore. And that 1 crore is in your pocket, which is better? I said, of course, 1 crore in my pocket is better. Prabhupada said, therefore, Krishna as a person is the source of all energies. And the impersonalistic philosophy is distributed energies. So which is better? He said, Bhagavan is better. So Prabhupada knew how to connect to different people as per their understanding. So Nirantara here refers to the fact that we do not consider any impediments caused due to needs of money. The fourth idea of antara Prabhupada mentions is antara also means it refers to asatsanga or bad association or negative association. So sometimes due to certain circumstances, if we are in the wrong association and in that negative association, asatsanga, we actually lose our consciousness of chanting Krishna's holy names. Because the way we associate, our enthusiasm also follows accordingly. And therefore, Krishna Nama Nirantara Yahara Vadane. If we have to chant the holy names continuously on the tongue, we have to be extremely careful that we should not allow the antara or the negative association or asatsanga to separate us from our enthusiasm to chant the holy names. And it is possible that this may happen. And therefore, this is an extremely important principle. Asatsang tyag swa jivanadhikam prarthyam sri vishnudana sangata vichedena kshanam chatrana sukhamsham labhamahe. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ramanand Samvad Mahaprabhu, when he asks Ramananda Rai, what is the greatest distress one can experience in life? Ramananda Rai quotes this from the scriptures and he says that the greatest benefit or the attainment for a soul, swajivanadhikam prarthyam sri vishnujana sangata, is the association of devotees. Vichhedena kshanam cha atra. And if we are separated from that association of devotees, even for one moment, kshanam cha atra, even for a moment, na sukha amsham labhamahe, we will not experience even an iota of bliss. So one moment of separation from the devotees will not allow us to experience even one fraction of joy at the level of the soul. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada mentions that this International Society of Krishna Consciousness has been created to actually facilitate the association of devotees. So one of our, you know, devotees, he lost his job and he was trying to get job somewhere, you know, this is in another country, near where the devotees were, he couldn't get it. So then finally he got this call from a faraway town that you come for a, you know, interview there. And he was thinking, okay, anyway, I've tried so many interviews, nowhere, nothing is working. I've prepared for all these interviews for so long, didn't make any sense. I didn't get accepted, I got rejected everywhere. So he started driving. It was a 3-hour drive for that interview. And all through that 3-hour drive, he started hearing, you know, a tape. He switched on, you know, one lecture of Radhanath Maharaj on Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Leela. And as he was hearing that, Mahaprabhu's pastimes with Prataprudra Maharaj and all that, it was going on and on and on. So he felt really refreshed and rejuvenated because he had kind of thought, I'm not going to get the job anyway, so might as well use the time well in some Shravana and Kirtan. So let me hear it properly. So he heard that and then he went for the interview and he knew that they are going to put me somewhere else and I'm going to lose association. So whatever it is, my priority is I should not lose the association of devotees. But I have to do my duty of attending this interview. Karmanyam adhikarast. So he came for that interview and he was the last one to be called. So before him, at least 8 to 10 people were called and the interview panel was also kind of in a bored mood. And when he entered, so they just asked, so you're supposed to be the team lead. We are hiring, you know, somebody for the team lead. What is the greatest quality of a leader? If you are the team lead, what is the most important quality which you will acquire? And immediately he said, Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. And he spoke in Sanskrit because he wanted to bewilder them. Because he had got so fed up attending all these interviews, he said, they are giving me a hard time, let me give them a hard time. They said, excuse me, sir, what's this? And then he said, this means we have to be humble like a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, and this and this. And he said, oh, wow, this makes sense. So basically, you're talking about servant leadership? He said, of course. And then he started, you know, speaking about Prataprudra Maharaj and whatever contents he had heard, that how in ancient India there was this king in Orissa and the king became such a servant. And you know, the interview panel put aside everything, heard katha for half an hour. And then he went away thinking that anyway I'm not going to get the job, but at least I had a good, great preaching opportunity. Nobody put me on the class schedule for a long time, so I got to give a class. And then he got the appointment letter. Amongst all the, you know, various people, they appointed him as the country head. And he said, from that day, I realized that we have to live life on the principle that at any cost, satsang is to be given a priority. Of course, those who are without jobs, I don't recommend that. This will always work. You have to do whatever you're supposed to do. But sometimes we start contemplating and thinking, this is a priority, that is a priority, and satsang is not a priority. So therefore, Krishna Nama Nirantara, the fourth meaning of antara is asatsanga. The fifth meaning of antara, which Saraswati Thakur writes, in his Bhashya, and which Prabhupada quotes in this purport, is that greed. So sometimes when we have greed, then we are unable to actually focus on the chanting of the holy names. And therefore Rupa Goswami says, laulyam kevalam ekam mulyam, that we should dovetail that greed towards doing something wonderful for Krishna. And then the sixth most important, which connects, because you know the whole verse is on which I am chanting is on chanting of the holy names, whereas the Bhagavatam purport is on deity worship. So you may be wondering, are bhul gaye kya? So we are connecting now through the sixth point, which is antara refers to atheistic ideas. And one of the prime atheistic ideas is to consider the deity to be like a stone, to be like a statue. We do not consider the deity to be a person, but to consider the deity to be just like stone, an idol or a statue which does not have life. We do not consider the deities to be the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna, the cause of all causes, who is present in with all of his power and potency in those deity form. So therefore, when we have this kind of an idea, so Rupa Goswami says, the chanting of the holy names and deity worship both act as parallel tracks which help us on this journey of devotional service. The primary means is the Harinam and the auxiliary means is the deity worship. The critical element for chanting of the holy names is absorption of the mind in the chanting. And the biggest impediment in the absorption is the influence of lust and pride. And the worship of the deity helps us purify the mind from lusty desires and from the influence of pride, because we offer the best to the deities. Like yesterday I was at Tenali in Andhra Pradesh. You know, we have heard about Tenali Rama. So there is, by Prabhupada's grace, an ISKCON temple in Tenali. Never imagined that there will be an ISKCON temple in Tenali. So Krishnadev Rai, who was very prominent at that time, he offered some of the best worship to Balaji, Tirupati. And he has, during his time, he made a dress made out of diamonds, right from top to bottom. Right? And in those days, that dress, that the cost of those diamonds was like 8 crores. So you can imagine, it is such a priceless treasure which no one can imagine. So by any standards, no human being would imagine something like this. And so Rupa Goswami says that there are two ways of worshipping the Lord. So what is the difference between a statue and a deity? When the form is created in an imaginary manner, and when the worship is imaginary. So when the form is not bona fide as per Shastra, and the process of worship is not as per Shastra, then it is no longer deity, it becomes statue. And therefore, both the form has to be bona fide, as well as the process of worship has to be bona fide. And therefore, when Srila Prabhupada was having various deities made, and Prabhupada was asking his devotees to paint Krishna's beautiful form in all of these wonderful literatures, so Prabhupada was very specific about how these deities should be actually made as per scripture. Nothing is fiction or imaginary. So one of Prabhupada's artists, devotees, Pushkar Prabhu, he tells the story that he was in Vrindavan. It was an evening time and the sun was setting. It was a beautiful ambience around the current Krishna Balaram temple. In those days, Raman Reti Chatikara Road was like all forest with peacocks, you know, making sounds. So he was sitting there observing the beautiful nature, Braj, sounds of the peacocks and the cuckoos. And then he took his, you know, page and started painting a beautiful landscape. And he painted a beautiful landscape. And then after making that whole landscape, he just thought, oh, I'm supposed to be only painting Krishna. So I have to add Krishna somewhere. Then only it will become Krishna conscious. So his artistic tendency was there. He expressed that. Then he put Krishna's, you know, picture somewhere. And then he showed it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada could immediately detect. And Prabhupada said, which verse in Bhagavatam? This painting is from which verse in Bhagavatam? So he didn't expect that. He said, but Prabhupada, you know, there are so many verses. Prabhupada said, I know, but which verse based on which you have made this painting? He said, Prabhupada, Krishna is unlimited. There are unlimited pastimes, so this is unlimited Krishna. Prabhupada said, Krishna is unlimited, you are limited. You have to follow exactly what is there in the scripture. And therefore, the proper form of the Lord is from the scripture, from the Shastra, and even the pastimes which are depicted through all the different artists in all these books you see in the Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is all connected to certain particular verses from the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is as per scripture. So therefore the form of the deities has to be as per Shastra. And second, the process of worship also has to be bona fide and as per scripture. And when we say the process of worship, you know, different people will have different ways of approaching, but Prabhupada mentions that the beginner stage of worship is we worship Radha Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. That means with awe and reverence. With awe and reverence we worship, and therefore there is a proper Vidhi Marg where the deities have to be woken up at a certain time, and you know, worship has to be done in a certain way and things like that. Everything is properly defined as per scripture. So therefore, the atheistic idea is to think that, you know, these deities are just stone and I can do something whimsically. So any kind of whimsical reciprocation, it reduces the dignity of the deity worship and just makes us feel it's like some regular stone. So therefore Prabhupada was very specific about how the deities must be worshipped, and Prabhupada had full faith that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly, the cause of all causes. So devotees in, you know, Calcutta, while dressing the deities, the pujari put Krishna's flute upside down, the other way. You know, you play flute only in one way, where there is the first hole and then there are the other holes on the side away from the lips. So they put it other side where the multiple holes were near the lips, and the single hole through which, you know, we exhale, that was on the outer side. So one devotee whispered in Prabhupada's ear, Prabhupada, the pujari has made a blunder. Prabhupada said, what? The flute is upside down. Prabhupada said, Krishna is omnipotent. He can play it either way. This way or that way. So don't just think, you know, Krishna is limited. So Krishna can manifest his unlimited potency through his deity and still be totally dependent helplessly on the devotee for taking care of him. And that is the achintya aspect of Krishna. So devotees were doing Harinam Sankirtan in New York, and they got so involved with that Harinam on Saturday night, or 3 days a week they would do. So they started doing all night. And they would come back to the temple at 3 o'clock. And they thought, okay, after coming back at 3 o'clock, okay, the rule is also that I must attend Mangal Aarti. So they said, let us prepone Mangal Aarti to 3 o'clock. So we'll come back from Harinam, attend Mangal Aarti, then we go to sleep. And then the one or two pujari are there, they will dress the deity. So that way everyone gets to attend Mangal Aarti. So if anyone asks, how is the sadhana standard? Perfect. Mangal Aarti going on. How? By shifting the timing. So this was going on for a month or so, and Prabhupada came to that temple. And when Prabhupada came, he had one look at the deities. And Prabhupada said, the deities look tired. Is there any change? And it was not an email, WhatsApp, Zamana, where any change made could have been communicated to Prabhupada. You could only write a proper mail, and that was also protocol oriented and everything. So it was definite that nobody had, you know, communicated this. The devotees were shocked and they said, yes, Prabhupada, you know, Harinam Sankirtan is the real thing. So we are going all night trying to distribute holy names to all the fallen souls. And we are experiencing such ecstasy that all night we are distributing. And we come back to the temple at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then we think, okay, let us attend Mangal Arati. So we preponed it. Not much, only by 1 hour. Prabhupada said, Hare Krishna is a young boy. He needs to sleep well. Just because you want to attend Mangal Arati, you are reducing his sleep. Let him sleep well, let him eat well. You do only Harinam till whatever time you can to come back and attend Mangal Arati next day. So Prabhupada, just by seeing the deities, he could recognize, you know, that, okay, the deities, they need some extra rest. And there are stories where, you know, in London, when they started making milk sweets for the deities, at one point they were just having something very frugal, and then suddenly they started making, in the late 70s, they started making 6 to 7 types of different sweets and started offering. And they actually found that, you know, the dress which they had made previous 2 years back was not fitting, and they had to make new dress. And when someone who hears this, who's not connected to the science of deity worship, when he hears this, he may say, "Hey, jada ho gaya. This is too much. What is going on here? Sunday morning aur koi mila nahi kya." But therefore, here it is described, antara means the atheistic idea, thinking that the deities exist for my sake, so that my desires can be fulfilled. Otherwise, if anything happens against my wishes, I lose faith. And therefore, you know, we have this beautiful pastime in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam of Gajendra. So in Gajendra's situation, how did he become Gajendra? So that is described in the chapter after Gajendra goes back home, back to Godhead. Like that. So when Gajendra goes back home, back to God, and after that, Gajendra's background is described. And in describing that, he says he was Maharaj Indradyumna. And as Maharaj Indradyumna, he was completely absorbed in worshipping the deities at the stage of perfection of devotional service. So here it is described that Sa ekada aradhana kalam atmavan grihita mauna vratai varam hari. Jatadharas tapa pluto chutamsha samarchayam asa kula chalashrama. So the verse describes Indradyumna Maharaj at the stage of perfection of bhakti is sitting, worshipping deities. Okay. Absorbed totally. Enters Agastya Rishi with various disciples. And Agastya Rishi sees that Indradyumna Maharaj is so absorbed in worshipping Krishna that he is not offering me proper protocols of respect and welcome. So just imagine, what is Indradyumna Maharaj's fault? Is he at fault? Yes or no? He is completely absorbed. But when you ask Agastya Muni, is Indradyumna Maharaj at fault? He'll say yes. And so you'll see here that Indradyumna Maharaj's glories are described in, you know, 6 words in this particular verse. Jatadhara. First, he was completely detached. Second, he was tapasa, austere. Third, apluto. He was experiencing ecstasy of devotional service while worshipping the deity. He was crying tears. Right? It was not like perspiration because it is hot. He was crying tears of ecstasy. Apluto. Fourth, Achyuta. He had found the perfect object of worship. Fifth, Samarchayan, which is very important. And Samarchayan means he had perfected the art of deity worship. I mean, amongst those who would worship deities, Indradhana Maharaj was there. Samarchayan, he knew exactly the right mood, attitude, details, and the bhav while worshipping the deities. Samarchayan and Maunavrata. And he was perfectly in self-control. So someone who's detached, austere, self-control, ecstatic, absorbed, who has attained the perfection of deity worship, and he is right in front of the deities worshipping. Millions of pilgrims who come and take darshan of the deities and pray to the deities, expecting welfare, benefit, progress. They may think that, you know, nothing can go wrong. But the problem with this material world is, padam padam yat vipadam natesham. Anything can go wrong. Even when we are totally focused and absorbed in the object of worship, like the deities, performing the deity worship perfectly. And when any incident happens at that stage, that is where the test is about our faith. Are we considering these deities to be just a marble statue or stone? Or we consider that it is Krishna who is personally standing, observing and controlling the movement of this universe through his will? And that's the test which Indradhana Maharaj went through. Right? Otherwise, everything he was doing was perfect. And even when people come to ISKCON temple, they really get impressed. One of the most fascinating things about the ISKCON temples is the beautiful, attractive standard of deity worship. Yes or no? So, you know, one friend of mine, he was a country head in Citibank many years ago. He came to me and he said, you know what? ISKCON temple is better managed than even Citibank. I asked him, which ISKCON temple you went to? He said, well, wherever I go to LA, 4:30 in the morning, Mangalarti starts. London, 4:30 in the morning. Mumbai, 4:30. Sydney, 4:30. Cape Town, 4:30. Everywhere I go, shank blows 3 times. Agarbatti is offered. Deep is offered. All the items are offered. 20 minutes, 25 minutes. You know, the scent is offered. Narsingharti is chanted. Deity Darshan closes. What a standard. You guys have made it. You are run much better than Citibank. What standards you have? I said, after 5 o'clock, what you do? He said, then I have my other business, so I leave. I said, real Leela starts after 5. So, if you observe in the last 50 years, in one sense, spiritual standards have been, you know, established to a great degree of uniformity as per Srila Prabhupada's desires, where as far as Harinam, Shastra, deity worship is concerned, all of these three areas, practically, there are uniform standards which really establishes credibility in the eyes of people who are coming. And then when it comes to organizational and administrative and other things, there may be differences and, you know, those are there. But still the spiritual standards have been established to perfection. And of course, things can always improve. But generally speaking, when devotees or any pilgrims, they walk into an ISKCON temple, they just see that there is life in the way the deities are being worshipped with bhav. It is not just a professional, some kind of thing happening. So therefore, here it's very interesting to see that the nature of this material world is no spiritual activity should be considered to be an insurance, an indemnity against calamity. So Krishna is saying these are two different tracks. You keep doing spiritual activities, you keep increasing spiritual credits. That is one track. That is one account. That is your account. You are adding to your account. Second is, when calamity will strike in your life, that is my account. That is simply to increase your love and dependence on me. So don't mix the two. So here Indradhumna Maharaj, at the stage of perfection of worshipping the deity, so we are glorifying, oh, he is detached, he is austere, he is ecstatic. He has not done any mistake, he is faultless. He can be, you know, glorified in deity worship seminars as an embodiment, as a Mahajan, as an example. But even if a person is displaying perfection, exemplary, still he can get into trouble. That's the point. That you can't be further non-controversial than this. That you are mauna, you have not opened your mouth. It's not a meeting going on where you are mauna. You are just with the deities. You are completely quiet. You are only absorbed in the deities. Still, there can be misunderstanding. So that should make us feel good. That, oh, I keep getting into trouble now and then. That's the nature of this world. So here, at this stage of perfection, our Durvasa Muni, Agastya Rishi, he saw four faults in this situation. And what were the four faults? He says, first he says, Tasma imam shapam adatas asadhu ayam duratma buddhir adya. First he says, he's asadhu. This Indradhumna Maharaj is not gentle. So this is the perception. Indradhumna Maharaj is not even aware that Agastya Rishi has come. He is absorbed. But what he is seeing, oh, this is asadhu, he is not gentle. Second, he is duratma, he is degraded. Third, he is akrita, he is uneducated. And fourth, he is avamanta, he is offensive. So from Agastya Rishi's point of view, because he did not get what he was expecting, a proper protocol of worship, he just perceived Indradhumna Maharaj to be not gentle, degraded, uneducated and offensive. And then just based on what he felt, he said, oh, you're sitting here with a big body like an elephant, so you become an elephant. And so that shrapa which was given, because of which Indradhumna Maharaj became an elephant in the next birth, was a classic case of circumstantial misunderstanding. Where Indradhumna Maharaj was fully absorbed in a bona fide act of devotional service with full pure intentions. His actions were pure, his intentions were pure. But even if your intentions and actions are 100% pure, still Krishna can, you know, organize someone to enter into your life where you are least expecting. And then he perceives Indradhumna Maharaj to be having all impure intentions and all impure actions. And therefore seeing that, he cursed him. And therefore when this happens, this is the test of Indradhumna Maharaj's faith. He didn't look at the deities with an angry eyes. And that's what, like, Bollywood films always create that prototype. Anything goes wrong, the hero comes to the temple. When things are going right, he is running behind trees with the heroine. Only when thing goes wrong, he enters temple. And then he starts, you know, asking all kinds of difficult questions to the deities. And the whole audience, everyone is nodding head, yeah, yeah. This is right. So Bollywood creates certain stereotypes about temples, and, you know, another is Kumbh Mela, a place where people get lost. So for many years, even I thought like that, till we joined ISKCON and then we started, you know, going to the Kumbh Melas and doing serving there. So we realized how organized it is, how well managed it is. So at this point, you know, what was the attitude of Indradhumna Maharaj? So it is described, evam shaptva ha gata agastyo bhagavan nripasanuga indradhumno pi rajarshi दिष्टम तत् उपधार्यम. इंद्र द्युम्न अपि राजर्षि वॉज अ किंग, वॉज अ राजर्षि, he was not just an ordinary king, he was a king who knew all the spiritual principles. How was his reaction? And that reaction of Indradyumna Maharaj, response of Indradyumna Maharaj, it will define what kind of shraddha and faith he has in the deities whom he was worshipping with great devotion and absorption. Dishtam tat upadharayan. He considered this to be dishtam, a twist of destiny, the unpredictable will of the Lord, with just, you know, yatra dharma suto raja gada panir brukodara, krishnostri gandivam chapam suhurt krishnas tato vipat. Bhishmadev tells about the Pandavas. The Pandava family was the best family, the most powerful family you could imagine. Yudhishthir was an embodiment of truthfulness. Bhima was an embodiment of power. Arjuna was an embodiment of great skill. Nakula and Sahadeva were an embodiment, were an emblem, a symbol of loyalty. And Krishna was their best friend. Suhrut Krishnas tato vipat. Still they kept going through difficulty after difficulty. So they were willing to tolerate this, seeing it as Krishna's will. So therefore, the purpose of Shastra is not to manipulate Krishna's will. The purpose of Shastra is not even to understand Krishna's will. The purpose of Shastra is to help us submit to Krishna's will. And therefore, here, the way Indradyumna Maharaj is submitting to Krishna's will, that qualifies him to enter into the pages of Bhagavatam. Dishtam tat upadharyam. And therefore, upadharyam is very important. He started considering, contemplating, and he did a cause analysis. And when we face reversals, so Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport to this, and he mentions 10 points on how we should face reversals. Right? So even if Indradyumna Maharaj faced reversals, when he was absorbed in worshipping deities for no fault of his, he could have perceived this entire episode as a severe injustice. But Dishtam, he understood, this is a reversal which has been created by the will of the Lord. Dishtam, Daiva, Bhagya, whatever. The will of the Lord. Upadharyan, he contemplate. So, what was his contemplation? So the first point Prabhupada mentions is, a devotee, when he goes through the reversal, he considers this to be a desire of the Lord. So Indradyumna Maharaj understood, this is Krishna's desire. This deity, whom I was worshipping with such intensity and absorption, this deity has desired that, you know, Agastya Rishi should come and curse me like this. So it is the desire of the Lord. Second, it is not just desire of the Lord. It is just unlimited blessings I have received via Agastya Rishi. So therefore, Agastya Rishi's curse is a statement of the Lord's pleasure with me. The Lord is so pleased with my worship that he decided that Indradyumna Maharaj's devotional sentiments should be accelerated. The volcano of divine love within his heart should erupt sooner than expected. So therefore, let me send Agastya Rishi to really curse him. And therefore, it is blessings. And third, he thought, these must be due to my past misdeeds. The third upadharyan, contemplation of cause. Fourth, a devotee thinks, this is simply a token reaction of what I must actually be getting. And therefore, this is nothing. It is a token reaction. So that's what Indradyumna Maharaj was thinking. And then, fifth, he considered, this entire episode is happening for my purification. And this is as far as five elements of analysis, upadharyan, contemplation. So based on that, there are three responses. What are the three responses? Typically, if we do not have faith, the first response is, that's the end of this relationship. Mala kisne diya mujhe? Dhundo usko. Right? There have been cases like that where, you know, people have come and left, you know, beads and this and that. They have sent by courier sometimes. Sometimes send the Bhagavad Gita back by courier. That something happened, we couldn't handle it. Why God is allowing like this to him? So therefore, Prabhupada says in every relationship there are four things: scarcity, impediment, discomfort, unhappiness. And in spite of that, when the relationship continues, it qualifies as love. And therefore, he says, okay, the first response is, he said, I must continue serving the Lord. The desire to continue serving these deities in even an elephant's body, I will not give it up. So when I take the elephant's body, it will not be that in that elephant's body my mind will be seething with rage for what happened. That I will never, then as an elephant, you did not chase, you know, different temples and try to break the temples. That, hey, these are the deities which are responsible for my becoming elephant. I will show my elephant power and break down and knock down this temple. He continued his seva. Second, not only he continued his seva, he wanted undisturbed meditation on the Lord, even in that situation. And thirdly, a devotee is dependent on the Lord for everything. So therefore, when we go to the temple, when we come to the deities, the most awaited aspect of the deities is the darshan. And when we take the Lord's darshan, what we receive later is prasad. Right? So therefore, one is the physical darshan with the eyes, and the second is prasadam with the tongue. But there is another kind of darshan which is shastra. Bhagavatam is darshan. It allows you to see situations in a certain way. It changes our vision, changes our complete ability to understand things. Therefore, it is called darshan shastra. The Acharya's commentaries is called darshan or tika. And therefore, when we come in front of Radha Gopinath, we look at them not with these eyes only, but also with the darshan of the philosophy of the Bhagavatam. And then we are able to experience each and every event which happens in our life. If we remember this darshan, then whatever happens in life, we will be able to accept as prasad. That is the connection between darshan and prasad. And that's exactly what Prabhupada spent 6 to 7 hours every night writing these books. Why? So that we just do not think that prasad is something which will be available only for few times in a day in a temple. No, so that 24/7, whatever happens in our life, we are able to see, perceive, meditate, understand, analyze, come to the conclusion, this is prasad. This is mercy. And that's a tall order. And that's not easy. And therefore, ISKCON is growing in numbers. The number of devotees are growing. But Prabhupada said, boil the milk. And what it means is, we're not interested in just increasing the numbers, but we have to be more careful that those who are getting connected are able to increase the quality of their darshan. So that whatever event happens in their life, they are able to see that as prasad and not as punishment. And therefore, that will define the extent of how our faith is increasing. And so, these are the three responses: that the service continues, we are undisturbed, we are dependent on the Lord for everything. And then, the last two items is, what is the devotee's expectation? and the devotee expects that Krishna will take care. And secondly, the devotee expects that Krishna will protect. Rakshayishyati iti vishvaso goptritve varanantata. Atmanikshepa karpanyam. Bhagavad bhaktita sarvam iti utsrija vidherapi. Kainkaryam Krishna padaika ashrayattam sharanagati. That is sharanagati. So when Vishan jumped to take shelter of Ram, there were four associates with Vishan. These four represent the four aspects, angas, limbs of surrender. Akinchanatvam means I have nothing. Ananyagatitvam, I have nowhere, no one to go and take shelter of, whatever may happen. Only you, my dear Lord Krishna. Third, Shakti means Krishna has full power. And fourth is Saralta, that Krishna will accept anyone in any kind of situation of disqualification to be his servant. And therefore, here we find that these are the, you know, five ways in which Indradhunna Maharaj analyzed that this is the desire of the Lord, this is his blessing, this is due to my past misdeeds. It's a token reaction, it's for my purification. And he decided to respond by continuing his service without being disturbed and dependent, you know, on the Lord for everything. And he had this expectation that Krishna will protect me, Krishna will take care of me. So in one purport, Prabhupada beautifully unpacks how a devotee's response to reversals in life should be. And therefore, when we are speaking about worshipping the deities, coming back to that beautiful verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna nama nirantara yahara vadane sai vaishnava sreshtha bhaja tahara charane. So who is that sreshtha Vaishnava? One who is able to have a darshan of the Lord in this manner. Who does not consider that only marble is standing, stone is standing. And as long as my desires are fulfilled, he is Lord. As long as my desires are opposed, he is someone else. I don't believe, I don't care. So if we have that mood, then when disturbances, reversals come in our life, the first thing which happens is our chanting gets disturbed. And therefore, Krishna nama nirantara yahara vadane. For that kind of undisturbed, uninterrupted chanting of the holy names, we must have total faith at the lotus feet of the deities, knowing that these are not just marble or stone. This is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, who's standing in front of us. And we are able to have that kind of a darshan of the Lord through the beautiful darshan shastra, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we are able to perceive each and every experience which we go through in our life as the Lord's divine mercy prasadam. And this is what Srila Prabhupada came to give each one of us as part of his wonderful offering to this world in this age of Kali. Distribution of Krishna consciousness all over the world. And we are so happy that all over the world we have more than 700 ISKCON temples where beautiful deities are giving darshan everywhere. And the deities are welcomed every morning with wonderful kirtan. So Harinam, Harikatha going on. So Prabhupada, you know, at one point of time they used to say that the sun never sets in the British Empire. And the Prabhupada said it never rises in London. But today, now, you know, Mangal Bhog Aarti is going on here at Chopati. So some other place, Sandhya Aarti is going on in the world. Somewhere Mangal Aarti is going on, somewhere else Shayan Aarti is going on. So therefore, today if you see, the sun never sets in the ISKCON world anywhere. And that sun can never set as long as the Shraddha or the faith is there in the hearts of the devotees, because in Jagannath temple also Jagannath deities were attacked, ransacked and taken out of the temple for many times, sometimes for the period of 80 to 100 years, that huge temple was without deities. But it is not the wood and the stone which make the deities. The deities exist in the heart of the devotees in the form of that faith. And if you do not allow anyone or anything to break that faith, then as long as that happens, the deities will continuously be worshipped in whatever state they are, because the devotees with that faith would again and again bring the deities and continue worshipping them, because nothing can break and shake the faith in the hearts of the bona fide devotees. So that's the gist of this whole idea of that the deities are there to increase our attachment towards them, but we increase our attachment towards them by begging for service, and we beg for service by chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.